Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome everybody to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman. Great announcer just told you that. So I don't know why I told you, but I am Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Tell us about Facebook, Walker.
Yes, we are live streaming on Facebook today. The live stream is working. I think it was Wednesday of last week we had a little bit of trouble. But we're live streaming on Facebook, so you can watch the show there. The entire hour and a half we're on the radio. And then all the news stories that Fred mentions, and then Steve comes over and mentions all those news stories will be posted on Facebook.
Fred Jackson, news director for American Family Radio, is here. Good morning,
Fred.
Great
to be back, and I brought some fall weather with me.
By the way, where were you last week?
I was at a apologetics conference in Charlotte. Frank Turek has been talking about that. And a couple of days vacation, and went over there because some great speakers. Norm Geisler spoke there. I think most people in our audience would know who he is.
Yeah.
Dr. Richard Land. Frank Turek, who we'll talk with tomorrow, had a couple of sessions. You know, Frank Turek needs to come out of his shell.
Yes.
He really...
Well, I've been working with him.
Okay, good. Because I tell you what, he's high octane. What you hear on Tuesdays here on Today's Issues, that is Frank Turek.
Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, you all know how loud I can be.
Yeah.
I have to turn him down when he gets on. It's just too loud even for me.
I tell you what, but...
he is just a dynamic speaker. I tease him about that.
Just a great conference, and, you know, it's apologetics. Christians need to know how to defend their faith today,
right?
Because our faith is under attack like never before.
You were in Washington, D.C., Ed.
Was.
You and Walker were there for the Values Voters Summit that we helped co-sponsor along with Family Research Council. And
Rob Chambers was there,
and other groups.
Abe Hamilton.
Exactly. I wanted to ask you, the president spoke on Friday.
Friday morning.
Did that overshadow your speech on Friday?
Well, I like to tell people that I spoke after lunch that President Trump opened for me.
Oh, he opened
for
Friday
me
morning.
On Friday morning. He got the crowd all revved up.
Okay.
Listen, I'm not a rah-rah guy, you know. I know people go, well, no.
Really?
When I speak, I'm a Bible teacher. And so I don't get anyone stoked. So I probably brought the whole thing down a little bit after the president in the morning. I saw something I'd never seen before, and our millennials, I tease millennials a lot, but they are pretty creative. My wife was there, my son and daughter-in-law, and a couple rows up, there was a couple, don't know if they were married, they were a young couple, but they stood up. Now, the president was speaking, and you know, he was on stage, and then they had two huge screens.
Yeah.
So this couple stood up and took a selfie, so they turned around with their back to the screen and had their phone and took a picture of them smiling at the phone with President Trump right behind them. It looks like he was photobombing them. And I thought, that's pretty clever. They're going to send that around and say, look, President Trump is right behind us.
Did the Secret Service not have a problem with that?
Well, they got wrestled to the floor soon after that and then taken for a TSA strip search. But other than that, they got the good picture. So
now, what did Walker? What did President Trump? What was his? What are two or three things that you heard him say at the Values Voters talk?
Well, he spoke about, of course, religious liberty and the steps he's taking and his agencies are taking to really what President Trump is on a mission to do when it comes to the First Amendment and religious liberty is tear down the bad things that President Obama did. So he's not this. These aren't necessarily orders. Advancing things, their orders pulling back bad regulations, especially on people of faith. So things like the contraception mandate, where Christian organizations, Christian ministries, and businesses were traditionally forced to provide abortifacient, is that how you say
abortifacients,
it? Abortifacient pills for their employees. So things like that they're taking steps to pull back. That's mainly what he talked about.
And you know, he's the only sitting U.S. president to ever address Values Voters, the Values Voters Summit.
That's right.
The only one to ever physically
You know why that is.
Well, because
usually once Republicans get elected to the presidency,
like George W. Bush, for example. Wasn't he the last one? Yes, he was the last one. And I don't know how long the Values Voters Summit's been going on exactly.
Since 2006.
Okay. Well, but typically, now I know a lot of the candidates have over the years for president. Romney has spoken there and others, and McCain and others. But what happens typically is the once you reach the level of the president, then you have all these people sort of guarding your image.
Yeah.
And they say, maybe you don't want to go to speak to those religious nuts over there. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that wouldn't be a good idea because the New York Times wouldn't like that. So you need to avoid that to protect your image. Well, President Trump doesn't care about that, which is good for him.
Yep. Yeah, the Washington Post already criticized Trump for speaking at the Values Voters because it's organized by Family Research Council. So the headline was, I think it was the WAPO, the headline was President Trump addresses meeting organized by hate group.
Who did that?
I think it was the Washington Post.
Yeah. Several media outlets. Yeah.
So hate group even in quotations?
Oh, no.
No. But see, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, that's what I'm saying is President Trump, I think President Trump is pretty loyal for whatever faults he may have. He's like all of us. He has a few. But he's pretty loyal, and he knows that the Christian community voted for him. Was it 83%?
Yes.
Excuse me, it was Newsweek.
Newsweek.
And the Independent from...
Can I borrow from President Trump? The failing Newsweek magazine was there to cover the and but anyway, President Trump knows that 83% of the Christian community voted for him in the election. And he's spoken at the Values Voters Summit three years, this would be his third year in a row. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't care that American Family Association and Family Research Council and the other groups are called hate groups. That doesn't bother.
Because they think he is.
Because he gets called that every day.
Right.
Every day, all day.
In fact, it was funny. One of his funniest lines Friday morning at the Values Voters Summit was, he said, "Hey, I'm here again." And he said, "I don't even need you this year." He said, "I'm not running for anything. I don't even need your vote."
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point.
It was a good point.
That's not a typical politician.
Yeah.
Usually they get what they want, and they use the groups they want, and then they, you know, leave them behind until they need them again the next time.
Yeah.
Right.
Then they show up.
And I just want to add one more thing before we move on, that there in Washington, the conservative movement is gaining momentum. You might not see it in the headlines and the news that you read, but the grassroots is rising up against the establishment and the status quo stuff. So it's, you know, we may not, you may get frustrated at how Congress is working, their low approval rating, but people are stepping up and you're going to see some elections. You're going to see some, what do you call them? Not incumbents, but insurgents come in to the Republican Party. Running on what President Trump has promised for 2 or 3 years now.
Yep. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, whatever Ed Vitagliano accomplishes for the rest of his life or doesn't, he will always be able to tell his grandchildren that he spoke at the same conference the President of the United States spoke on the same day.
Right. Just hours apart
and actually followed him. Followed the President of the United States.
And I'll put in parentheses if I want to make it clear.
Right.
That it was
did you meet him backstage? Or?
No, I didn't. But when he spoke last year.
You didn't
year,
run towards him? And
Well, last year when he spoke, I was, as far as you and I are apart, when he came off the stage and back. Wow. And I almost asked if I could get a selfie with him, but I thought, I always mock people who do that kind of thing with quote unquote celebrities. I said I can't do
that.
I
would have paid just to see you getting a selfie. Because that is not you at all.
No,
that is not Ed Vitagliano getting a selfie. So I'm just curious. I didn't know that story. So last year you're at the Values Voters Summit, the president's there, he spoke, and you were very close. How close do the Secret Service stay to him?
Well, this was last year.
This was when he was running. when he was
running. But still, didn't he have Secret Service protection?
There? I don't remember there being people around
him. He was already the named
him.
Candidate. Okay.
I mean, there may have been. And
well, there was security all over the building, yeah. I'm sure. But
yeah, and I don't remember what I was doing back there. I think I was just looking for the green room because I wanted some snacks or something.
Right,
but,
right.
But I was back there in the area where you come right off the stage.
Okay.
And he came, and he was shaking hands, and I wanted to go up. But you know what? I'm not even sure I know how to do this. You know, to turn your camera around so you can get. Oh, wait. Are we both in the picture?
Well, then you got to hit the reverse camera thing.
Yeah.
You do have to do that. I'll show you it. I'll work with
okay.
you.
Okay. I'm good.
I'm pretty high tech savvy myself. All right, Trivia Friday will be on Friday, but today we're talking serious stuff.
And Share-a-thons.
And Share-a-thons coming up. Yeah, let me tell you about Share-a-thons coming up tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. And we'll still be doing all our shows that we do here on American Family Radio, but we will be talking about what our financial needs are here at American Family Radio. You know, you go out to your car in the morning, in the afternoon, whenever, and you listen to American Family Radio, and you don't have to insert a credit card, you know, to listen to us or anything like that. Well, these are our 3 days in the fall. We do this in the spring as well. So 6 days out of 365 days that we will be mentioning the fact that we do need your financial support to stay on the air with American Family Radio. So please pray with us about this because we're listener-supported Christian radio, and this is a very important time for us the next 3 days. And when you call in your support, please be as generous as you can. That's what we would really appreciate that. And pray for us here at AFR, too. We want to do God's will with the tool that he's given us here with just a broadcast. 184 stations across the country. Is it still 184, Walker?
That's correct.
184 radio stations across the country. And thousands of people listen on their app to American Family Radio. Yes, Fred.
All right. Speaking of all of that.
Yeah.
Had lunch the other day at this conference. And, you know, you go out, they had a neat thing. They had a bunch of food trucks outside the church where this conference was being held. So you had your variety. So you go back into this big dining room. I didn't know anybody there, so I just sat down at a table with a couple of couples sitting there. One couple's from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Listen to us all the time in Fayetteville,
yes,
North Carolina.
Yes, we have a radio station in Fayetteville. Yes.
But the other family that was there is from Detroit. They pipe up. Yeah, we listen to you all the time. I said,
we don't have a station in Detroit, though.
We don't have a station in Detroit. She said, I got you on the app.
Really?
There you
yeah,
go.
Listen to you all the time.
Well, so how did they know who you were?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, but how did they,
I mentioned, yeah.
We're not on TV. How did they know? Oh, you mean just happened to be sitting by them?
I said, with American Family Radio. Bing. Just like that.
That's yeah. cool.
So this
cool
was totally story. Random. Yeah. Picked a table to sit down. Everybody around that table knew about American Family Association, American Family Radio.
I'll tell you, multiple stories like that have happened to me, too. Mm-hmm. I may have mentioned this, but we were in Washington, D.C. about a year ago for our one of our tours, and I'm in the Lincoln Memorial. And I'm up there, and this couple asked me to take a picture of them with, you know, with the Lincoln Monument in the background. So I did, and then we get to talking. They were from somewhere in Arkansas, and this is random, you know. And
yeah.
they say, you know, I say, where are you from? And then and I said, well, we have an AF American Family Radio station there. American Family Radio. I listen to y'all all the time. I know who you are. That was one of those sayings, you know.
Yeah.
I know who you are. So I've gotten that. But that kind of, my dad, Don Wildman, whose dad's near 80 now, but about 3 years ago, he and mom and another couple of family members, they were in Canada at, what's that place that's got the clear lake and the mountains in the
Lake
background?
Lake Louise.
Banff.
Lake Louise.
Lake Louise.
Yep.
Banff National Park, isn't it like that? Canada now, and they're like looking, you know, out doing some touristy stuff, and somehow they got engaged in a conversation with somebody, another couple. I think they were from, I don't know, Kentucky or Tennessee or somewhere like that, and they said, oh, you're Don Wildman. I listen to American Family Radio. It's just like, you know. You just,
so we got Canada, we got Detroit, yeah, we got Washington, D.C. I was in Uganda one time. And the guy came up and he said, I recognize your voice. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, okay.
I just wanted
to, you were trying to top it. You were
right,
trying to catch a bigger fish.
That's right.
Yeah, I know what
well,
you're
I
trying to do.
Well, I was in Russia.
Okay, you're trying to do that.
Colluding.
But, you know, it's so funny. Yeah, thousands of people listen to American mm-hmm. Family Radio now with the app. You mm-hmm. know, you can go anywhere and listen yeah. to American Family Radio. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker, we're live video streaming on Facebook. And
we are.
Okay. So go to our Facebook live stream, and you can watch there the show or listen to the show. By the way, before we move on to the news of the day, which I know it's taken us 15 or 20 minutes to get to here, Mr. Dow Jones is up to, he's climbed to 23,000 feet.
Wow.
So he's about to hit the summit of the, is this a record?
Yeah, it was around 22.8 last week.
We're talking about the stock market, people, for those who don't know what we're talking about.
You remember when everybody said it'll never reach 20,000?
Nah. I remember when they said it might not reach 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now it's up to 23,000. And we reported last week, look at the economy. You know, the mainstream media, the liberal media is focused on this and that. They don't talk about the economy, and here is why. The economy is cooking. Manufacturing is up. Jobs are up. Unemployment is down. We're shrinking the trade deficit. All of those things are happening. Is it any wonder why sometimes President Trump will get out there, or Sarah Sanders, the spokesman for the White House, how come you guys never report on this?
Yeah.
This is incredible news.
Well, according to MarketWatch, the Dow has registered 48 record closes, its most all-time high finishes in a single year since 2013.
Is that week by week?
Well,
48 weeks in a row? Or 48 days in a row?
No, it's just 48 records it's broken mm-hmm. this year.
Mm-hmm. This year?
Yep.
Well, let me tell you something. This is just speculation on my part, but I think probably most people are going to agree with what I'm going to say. This is attributed basically to the confidence of the business community and the things that President Trump is doing and says he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's face it, there's been no major legislation passed. Now, he has done a lot to put people in positions to do a lot of deregulation, which a lot of business people say suffocates business in America, is all these regulations that we have to deal with. And President Trump understands that as a businessman himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think... And they're probably this is probably in anticipation of a tax.
That's what this article says.
Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Coming up this year, that may be passed this year or soon, and maybe after the new year, that will, if you believe in free market, or what do they call it?
Capitalist.
Capitalist. No, it's called some kind of Reaganomics.
Trickle mm-hmm. down.
Well, trickle down, but if you believe in cutting taxes for wealthy people, well, not for wealthy people, but for businesses.
To stimulate the economy.
Will stimulate the economy. If you believe that principle, then what President Trump wants to do, I think, will cause the economy to
boom. Deregulation.
Yes, to boom even.
I don't even think that's Reagan economics. That seems to be.
The common sense.
I think most economists understand that regulation has a very big, very large role to play.
And I think that the liberal media in particular is scared to death that President Trump will get credit for how well the economy's doing and will cause him to gain more popularity, and perhaps the Republicans win next year and President Trump's reelected. That's their greatest fear. So they cannot promote this good news in the economy too much because it reflects positively on the president. Is that fantasy land, or is that?
No, I think that's exactly right. That's why, like Fred said, you're not going to get the media covering these kind of things until it's so obvious that it's the elephant in the room and they have to.
Now, the stock market is going to drop sometime. It's not going to keep going up and up. Well, I guess a year ago. You know what I'm saying? The stock market has its ebbs and flows. But it's been very, very positive since the president took office, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I can tell you, I can predict when the stock market will go down, and that's if I increase investment.
Okay, Dan Celia,
if I personally increase investment in the stock market, it'll go down.
Kind of like if you wash your car, it's going to rain?
Absolutely. So I will let folks know
when I'm
going to increase investment, because then it'll dump. dump everything. The price will drop.
I never will forget one of these two or three times over the last 20 years where everybody lost everything in the stock market. Do y'all remember those days? I had we had a 401k here.
Yeah.
And I built my 401k up. It was nice. I'm not going to tell you all my private business people how much money I have in the 401k. Yeah. But it was doing good. And then everybody lost. I wasn't the only one. We all lost half.
Right.
What?
Became a 201k, didn't it?
remember that?
Yeah.
And, you just say to yourself, what are you supposed to do? You know?
Yeah.
Oh, but I remember a friend of mine. He used to work here. Doesn't work here any longer. He moved on. But he was a friend of ours, colleague of ours. And he was a stock broker before he came to work here. And I remember going into his office. And I said, man. I said, everybody's getting wiped out. What's the deal? He said, well, the good thing is now you can now buy in low.
Yeah.
You remember that?
He used to
tell us all
that's right.
It was,
you buy low.
It was Captain Sunshine.
And then
we lost everything, half of what we had, and he's telling us the good thing is we can buy in low, Ed.
And the folks and those kind of folks say, listen, in 10 years it'll be back up.
Yes, it'll be back up 10 years.
What if I don't have 10 years?
Right.
Then what about all those folks?
You're going to keep doing that where you lose half of it and then they tell you 10 years. Pretty soon you're going to run out of years.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's not going to mean anything to me when I'm 85.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right. What do you mean I'm broke?
95, you're telling
me. At 95, I'll be right back up
there? If I'm still alive.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Anyway, I used to remember he used to always say, well, the good thing is you now buy in low.
Yeah.
And I was going, so I should be happy about this. That's what you're telling me. We just lost half our value, but I should be glad. Because now I can buy in low.
I don't have any money to buy anything.
So you're telling me when I'm 95, I'll be able to buy all the tapioca I want in the nursing home. Is that what you're saying? Good. Well, I can't wait for that day to come.
I know. I quit going into his office because I knew what I was going to get. You can now buy in low because you got wiped out at the stock market. Okay. All right, Fred, you got two minutes before our break. What's leading the news? And don't tell me the stock market's going to crash or anything like that, please, Fred.
No. Okay. I'll leave that for Steve at 11:05. Bo Bergdahl, formerly this morning, pleading guilty. He is the deserter, Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, who walked away from his comrades then in Afghanistan in 2009. And you may remember six of his comrades lost their lives going out looking for him. And then in a deal made by President Barack Obama's team, he was set free after we let go five Taliban terrorists. And then there was this big Rose Garden. Remember the announcement with President Barack Obama with Bergdahl's parents? And at the time, Obama administration officials said Bergdahl had, quote, served with honor and distinction, end quote. He was a deserter. Today he pled guilty. Now, what happened on the weekend? Now, ABC News, they started playing some excerpts from an interview that Bergdahl had done with some British broadcasting team, in which Bergdahl said, you know, the reason I'm pleading guilty in all of this, I could never get a fair trial because of the things that Donald Trump said about me. Remember during the campaign?
No, it's Trump's fault, not his.
It's all Trump's fault. He couldn't get a fair trial, so that's why he's going to plead guilty. Now, we do not know, pled guilty this morning formally, we do not know at this point, we're waiting to hear this, what kind of sentence he will get. He can be sentenced up to life in prison, but we don't know
yet. He should be.
He should be, but he may have made a deal to do the plea. Has often happened. So
that
we're just waiting to hear
of all the things President Obama did, that was the most bizarre, one of the most bizarre things. Mm-hmm. He had Bergdahl's parents at the White House because he had been, the Americans had gotten him back from being a hostage.
Yeah.
Our government had, and he's saying, President Trump's saying he served with honor and distinction.
He was a deserter, and we released five Taliban leaders
right.
for him. Not one for one, five Taliban
that
leaders for a deserter.
That made you wonder whose side President Obama's on.
Yeah.
When he's given five Taliban leaders back for a guy who deserted?
Yeah.
And how many people lost their lives?
Six of his comrades lost their lives looking for this guy.
And you can say whatever you want to, Bergdahl, about Trump. If you're going to plead guilty to desertion, you're guilty.
Right.
Of desertion. We'll be back in a minute.
On the next Today's Issues, it's day one of Share-a-thon, and our guests will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning, Dr. Frank Turek of Cross Examined, and Monica Cole of 1 Million Moms. Our topic will be proclaiming God's faithfulness and how important it is that we remain faithful to serve as He's called us. We'll also stay abreast of the news with newsmen Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl. All that and more on the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
American Family Radio, equipping you to change the culture.
My name is Teresa. I own a taxi business. I drive all day long. I pick up people, take them to the doctor all day long. One day I climbed into my van, and I never even knew this radio station existed, and it was just on. And I believe with all my heart that God put it on the radio for me. I am a witness for the Lord. I have had lots of opportunity to lead people to the Lord. Listening to your station only gives me more confidence. I have followed in faith by opening this company. And AFR just really lifts me up in spirit and lets me know that I'm doing the right thing. Just encourages me and my clients.
Your partnership makes a difference. Join us for our 3-day Share-a-thon starting tomorrow. Listener-supported American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu.
From director Kevin Sorbo and executive producer Sean Hannity comes Let There Be Light. Saul Harkins is a man who has turned away from God, but a near-fatal car crash gives him one last chance to renew his life, his family, and his faith. Let There Be Light, rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters October 27. More information is available at lettherebelightmovie.com.
A decorated high-ranking commander in the Air Force has been removed from command after he declined to personally affirm a gay relationship. First Liberty Institute is representing Air Force Colonel Leland Bohannon. The colonel had been on track to become a one-star general, but now his military career is effectively over. Last May, the colonel was asked to personally sign a spouse appreciation certificate for a retiring gay subordinate. Since that would violate his religious beliefs, the colonel requested a religious accommodation, but the Air Force never responded. So the colonel had a two-star general sign the document instead. At that point, the gay airman filed a complaint alleging unlawful discrimination. And unless the Trump Pentagon intervenes, the stellar career of a highly regarded officer will come to an end, simply because he believes marriage is between one man and one woman. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this show. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at this address, comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, Walker Wildman, and Fred Jackson. Before the break, we were talking about what's the fellow's first name? Bergdahl?
Bo Bergdahl.
Mm-hmm. And he is pleading guilty to desertion. Mm-hmm. That's the way you pronounce that word, true?
Right.
Desertion, mm-hmm. Which is an extremely serious offense. And he could go to prison for life, or I guess whatever they call the military. Would he go to the federal pen, or would he go to a military?
He'd go to a military prison.
Is that Leavenworth?
I think it would be Leavenworth.
Yeah. But he's pleading guilty, but he's blaming Donald Trump, saying, I can't get a fair trial, so I'm going to plead guilty. I've never heard that one before. That's bizarre. I would say I'm not guilty, and I don't feel like I'm going to get a fair trial because President Trump's already prejudged me. President Obama already prejudged him, too, as an honorable man.
Right.
With, as I say, that was one of the most bizarre press conferences I've ever seen, with him having the Bergdahl family there and lauding him. Now, what happened was, if you remember back, it was a he was considered a hostage situation, Bergdahl was, and we traded. President Obama said, I'm going to give you five Taliban leaders for this one soldier. And remember, it was then pitched to us as, or spun to us as, you know, we don't leave any of our men behind. Remember that? Which is true. That's the American tradition.
Right.
But to trade five Taliban leaders for one guy who deserted, and then to laud him was just... I don't have a word.
Also, he pled guilty to a misbehavior charge. That carries the maximum penalty of life in prison. Desertion is punishable by up to 5 years. Now, the misbehavior charge, does that have to do with after he went AWOL, what he did?
Well, AWOL would be the misbehavior, I would think. Okay. He walked away from his unit.
He hung out with the Taliban.
Yeah, he voluntarily walked away from his unit. He changed teams.
He went out looking for the Taliban. Villagers said in the investigation, this army soldier came by asking where the Taliban was.
Oh, and that was him.
Right. So he wasn't walking down the road and then the Taliban kidnapped him.
But then his fellow soldiers went looking for him, true?
Right. Yes.
And
six of them lost their lives. Others were wounded. You know, it's just... It's a horrible situation. This guy didn't believe in the war, and so he just decided.
Well, this is a Fox News story. It says at one point during his captivity, Bergdahl converted to Islam, fraternized openly with his captors, and he declared himself a mujahid.
Mujahideen.
That's plural. I guess it's mujahid.
That's a soldier singular. For Islam.
Warrior for Islam. And that's on the basis of secret documents prepared on the basis of eyewitness accounts.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What's the next story, Fred?
All right. President Donald Trump today has invited Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell for coffee over at the White House.
He didn't get golf?
No.
Rand Paul and Lindsey Graham got golf out of the deal. Maybe McConnell doesn't golf.
Maybe he doesn't golf.
Yeah, I'd get something. I'd say, you know, one of the resorts, is what I'm saying.
No secret to anybody that President Donald Trump has blamed publicly Mitch McConnell for not getting things done in the Senate. And interesting comments on the weekend from Senator Lindsey Graham about that allegation. He said, Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, not our problem. Our problem is that we promised to repeal and replace Obamacare, and we failed. We promised to cut taxes, and we've yet to do it. And he says, if we're successful, Mitch McConnell's fine. If we're not, we're all in trouble. We lose our majority, and I think President Trump will not get reelected. That is Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. He's saying Mitch McConnell's not the problem. We're all the problem.
Well, Mitch McConnell, he's a Senate Majority Leader. It's his job to get the team together, so to speak. However, I will say this. You're talking about a 52 votes, right? Republicans, I'm talking about. It's 52 to 48 right now, true?
That's right. That's right.
All you need is a couple people to get off the the team, or what metaphor I want to use for it, get off the train, so to speak.
Which we have seen.
And then it becomes very difficult for a majority leader to fulfill the campaign promises. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is that all his fault?
All McConnell's fault?
If Rand Paul and John McCain and Collins and Murkowski, is that her name?
Yep.
Lisa Murkowski.
If you can't get them to vote your way, is what I'm saying, maybe there are others, is that the fault of the Senate Majority Leader?
Partially. I mean, he bears some responsibility. I mean, at the end of the day, he doesn't control everyone's vote on the Senate floor. You're going to have people who do their own thing.
Is that his fault then?
Partially. Partially
because of the reason that because he's the coach.
Well, you've been in the minority for 7 years.
Yeah.
Well, 8 now, and you had 8 years to build consensus for when you run the country, for when you have a Republican president.
Right.
Well, maybe they did that, and I don't know. But from what I can see, Speaker Ryan and Majority Leader Mitch McConnell did not spend time building consensus for when they run for when they have a Republican in the White House. Rather, they waited thinking Hillary Clinton would win.
Yeah.
When President Trump won, they were kind of surprised. Then they started kind of putting their plan together for health care and tax reform. Now we're 8 months in and we don't have anything done.
But if you're Mitch McConnell, I'm going, hey, I didn't give you the thumbs down on the Senate floor like John McCain to kill the skinny repeal of Obamacare.
In fact, I think McCain's actions surprised McConnell? Republican leadership. Didn't I mean? Is that,
oh, right at the last moment.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been reports that he didn't tell anybody the way he was going to vote until the very last minute.
And told Democrats were the ones he told. Hey, what did he say? Watch the show.
Watch the show.
Yeah. So if you're by the way, I'm not on Mitch McConnell's payroll, so don't.
Right.
And please don't throw things at your radio because Tim Wilmer's defending Mitch McConnell. I'm trying to be fair about this thing as far as what. How much power a leader really has to control his members, especially in something as independent as the Senate, where all these guys, 6-year terms, they're not really, except for the last 2 years of their term, they're not really subject to being hurt politically by anything that they do or don't do,
right.
Quite frankly. But I'm just saying, if you've only got a four vote margin, you know what I'm saying? And it's hard to... And the Democrats are going to stay lock solid. It's going to be very rare to pick one of them.
There are some things that I think Senator McConnell could do that he does have control over that would ease a little bit of the pressure he's getting. He's getting a lot of pressure not just because they couldn't repeal Obamacare. It's several things. It's the rules that are slowing down the judicial nominations. It's the 30-hour debate. It's multiple things that he actually does have control over for the most part that he's not changing. So it's all this together. It's just a bad mix of things that he's not doing. And so that's why the pressure's there.
Well, I'll tell you another thing that President Trump and Leader McConnell are at odds on, and that is the 60-vote threshold, the so-called filibuster. It's not so-called. It is called a filibuster. The fake-a-buster, as Brian Fisher calls it, and Abe. Did Abe Hamilton or Brian Fisher come up with that?
Brian,
I think that's Brian's deal,
Brian
isn't it? Fake a buster?
Yeah.
And Abe,
I guess.
Abe, well, Abe uses it, and I don't know if he credits Brian or not. Do you? I would have found out about that. But anyway, the fake a buster. Now, Mitch McConnell would say we don't have the votes in the Senate to change the rules.
Well, to actually change the rules, you have to have 67 votes to actually change the rules. Now, to use parliamentary procedures to nuke the filibuster, that just
50
51
Well, if they don't change the 60 vote threshold, aka the filibuster, then nothing is going to get passed legislatively. The Republicans are not going to get anything passed unless they use this 50 vote reconciliation procedure. Folks, I know you're really into this, and that's why we're trying to give you the down and dirty and the details, right, Fred?
It doesn't help, though, when you go home to Kentucky and tell your constituents that President Trump has excessive expectations.
That's true.
You know, y'all been promising this
for
a long time.
Don't say that. So the bottom line is that President has invited McConnell to the White House, and they're talking today. You said they're having coffee.
Well, they're having lunch. They're getting a little bit more than coffee.
They're having lunch. Yeah. Trump's whining and dining them, isn't he?
He's getting
Lindsey Graham and Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell getting them.
Well, and I find it interesting. I mean, this lunch is set up now just a few days after Values Voter Summit, where Steve Bannon was there and basically trying to rally the troops, saying, you know, we got a clean house. And so we're heading into an election campaign where there's going to be a lot of fighting.
Here's what would be the best thing for Senator McConnell, and I'm not being sarcastic. If he comes out of the White House today with President Trump, they do a joint press conference.
Mm-hmm.
They say, look, President Trump and I have had differences in the past. We disagree on certain things, but we've come together today. We have some agenda items that we agree that need to be done for the American people. and I'm going to set aside the I'm ordering or asking, requesting that Chuck Grassley of the Judiciary Committee set aside the blue slip rule, and we are reducing the 30 hours of debate to 2 hours of debate
to get my judges
to passed. Get President Trump's judges passed. We are in agreement on this. We're going to get this done
right
for the American people.
If he did that,
that would be great.
That would be great. Because I'm going to tell you something. One of the main reasons people voted for President Trump on the conservative side is the judges.
Judges, absolutely.
And the Democrats are slow walking that as much as they can. They're trying to stall the appointment of federal judges because they know how important the federal court is. Mm-hmm. Now, related to that, didn't the president say something today? I didn't get to read the article. But didn't he say something today about he expects to get a couple more appointments while he's the president because Sotomayor and Ruth Bader Ginsburg are in not the best health. Didn't he say something about that?
Sotomayor.
It wouldn't surprise me.
But Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Ginsburg, yeah.
Yeah.
What's she, 80?
Wait a minute.
80-something?
Huh? Ginsburg.
Sotomayor is relatively young.
Oh, yeah. She just came in under Obama.
Maybe I...
No, it would be Ginsburg.
Dreaming about
Ginsburg
that.
And Kennedy. And
maybe Stephen Breyer, maybe. He's...
Or Breyer.
I saw a picture. If it's on the internet, it's true.
I'm gonna look.
Look and see what President said about this.
When was this?
Today or yesterday? But I mean, if he were able to place Ruth Bader Ginsburg, mm-hmm. I think we would just have a party right here on the air. You know, a Christian party, no yes. alcohol or anything like that. Confetti though.
Cake.
Huh? Cake. I think we'd have music. Maybe Walker could freestyle rap for
us. This is a source.
You call it freestyle rap? Is that what you call it, Walker? Freestyle rap?
I guess so.
Would you try to do that for us?
It would have to be freestyle. No one's going to pay him to do it.
I give you my best shot.
Okay. What are you looking up for?
This is Washington Examiner. President Trump believes he will have the opportunity to pack the Supreme Court with 5 judges. Buoyed by the Senate's expected...
What? Boy, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Repeat what you just said because I don't think I heard you right.
President Trump believes that he will have the opportunity to pack the Supreme Court with 5 judges. Okay, and so a new report in the court reveals that the average age of justices who leave the court is 79. Scalia was 79 when he died. By the end of Trump's first term, 3 will have crossed that line. Anthony Kennedy, 83. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, 86. Stephen Breyer will be 81. The next oldest is Clarence Thomas, who will be 71.
So two of them are liberals, one of them's a moderate. Who are the oldest?
Yes.
Is that right?
That's right.
I'm going to tell you,
if Trump gets his way, it would leave a conservative 7-2 majority.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Huh? Can you imagine?
I'd retire at that point.
I think the Democrats leave the country.
I think they
lead a civil war at that point.
You thought the 2016 election was nasty.
Oh, they will. I don't know what they will do or can do, but they will. I can't even articulate. If you were able to get, if President Trump's able to appoint 2 more Supreme Court justices to replace liberals, they will, epileptic is not a word that even reaches what these Democrats are capable of doing. I don't know.
Actually,
they'll riot.
Epileptic is not a word, period.
do you get pleasure out of that?
I know that when the tables are turned, you get pleasure out of it.
You don't think that was just a Southern accent? or you think I just totally mispronounced the word? Okay. Well, how does it say? How do you say it?
Apoplectic.
What did I say?
Apoleptic.
So it could have been
a Southern accent.
Well, mine's a biblical term, isn't it? Okay. The Democrats will go Armageddonish. Okay. They will go Armageddonish on the Republicans. Should that scenario take place? I'm you know what they do?
Oh.
They freaked out over Gorsuch.
Yeah.
I don't blame them from this point of view. If I were on the other side and the Democrats were about to stack the court with 6 or 7 votes that would last for 20-30 years, I would be depressed too. And I know for them, they feel like they've gotten all their gains. The liberals have most all their gains have come through the court, especially the Supreme Court over the last 30 years, and they feel like if they lose that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're going to frame it like, you know, Taliban's going to take over America if Trump gets to appoint 2 conservatives to replace 2 liberals. But, wow, But President Trump himself said that he thinks he's going to be able to appoint.
Well, he said he expected five. I don't know how he'd get five, but
I think he's counting Thomas in there, isn't he? In that count,
he
Thomas
said,
is a spring chicken compared to these other folks.
This says he'd have the opportunity to pack the Supreme Court with five judges. So, but if you exchanged Kennedy, Bader Ginsburg, and Breyer with conservatives,
well, then you've got it.
Then you've got it, because the only liberals who would be left
Sotomayor.
Would be Sotomayor and Kagan.
I think President Trump would probably look for some good millennials to pack the court with.
Just make sure they're conservative. Right, right. And they stay conservative.
Right. Did he say pack?
He said pack.
He doesn't know
very
not
optimistic.
To say that word.
I know.
That's what you love about President Trump. He said, he just outright said, I look forward to packing
the packing,
court.
I'm packing the court with my people.
Well, that's what, was it Roosevelt? Who was it got
yeah,
in trouble
FDR.
For it,
huh? Yeah, he got slapped down. He wanted to change the number of Supreme Court justices so that he could appoint a bunch and get the majority.
Court.
Yeah.
Packed the court. Okay.
One of the few things FDR didn't get done.
Okay. So tomorrow we can look forward to a tweet by President Trump saying, I look forward to packing the court.
That is a funny
Chuck
way,
Schumer
a funny
will,
way to put
will,
it.
Chuck Schumer will then go
apoplectic
on Trump. You watch. All right. I would just say let it be so, Lord. Let us get good judges on the Supreme
Court.
I mean, I'm serious. I know we're joking around, but that's been our problem. For the most part, is the judges over the last 20, 30 years.
I'm not sure if it's true, but it's been reported that during the election campaign last year, Ginsburg said, basically, if Hillary Clinton got elected, that she would step down.
Yeah.
But she is hanging on by her fingernails.
But she's the oldest at 86.
And she hasn't been in great health.
Well, she actually survived, was it colon cancer? She actually survived cancer.
She did not look well the last couple of times I've seen her. But
let me ask you this. Why? And maybe I'll think differently if I ever make it to the year 80, to 86 years of age. But I just don't know. And these people who hang on into their 80s
in Congress.
I just don't know. After 30, 40, 50 years, is that not enough for a life? Don't you want to enjoy the last few years you have here on Earth without having to?
You would think that, but there's got to be something about Washington and just the power and influence and attention you get. There's something about it that folks really like.
But at 86 years old, haven't you already been there, done that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you enjoy your life with Allison.
Right.
You enjoy your life. You enjoy your grandkids, your kids, and your grandkids.
Yeah.
That is something to look forward to, being able to do that without having to go to work.
Right.
I'm not sure, this is maybe a little judgmental, but I'm not sure these kinds of people enjoy that.
They care about those things?
Yeah, or at least they don't care about it in comparison to what Walker was talking about, and that is getting the finest tables in D.C. and being treated with that kind of, you know, you're an icon. Maybe you compare that. I got to go and live with, go home to my wife now and putter around the garden compared to that. I mean, most of us.
You can't tell me that these people in their 80s who are on the Supreme Court, for example, read stuff. Read all those.
Oh, no, I don't. I don't even think it has to do with them being in their 80s. I think all Supreme Court justices have, they have
just
staff.
They just do with their clerks?
The clerks, help. And they probably sit down and have meetings they do all the clerks do all the research, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's fairly typical.
Well, I know I'm going to get emails now from people in their 80s saying that was offensive. But
you're saying that I'm guessing most people who would call you are probably retired. If they're, they're retired and enjoying their lives.
Right.
That's what we're saying. It's not that you can't do anything.
Some people say, I want to work till I die because retirement's not in the Bible, and I don't want to. And people do need a reason to get up in the morning. I mean,
well, but you can volunteer.
But that's what I'm saying.
Mentor young people.
If you've been on the Supreme Court for 40 years or whatever it is, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I mean, and you're 86, you know what I'm saying?
Well, put it this way, no matter what age you are, people don't need to be in Washington for 40 years.
Right.
Yeah. I know she may have not been there 40 years, but just politicians.
On the Supreme Court.
She is going to hang on because of her ideology.
Yeah.
She knows that President Donald Trump would replace her with a conservative. Yeah. That's what's holding her there. It's and not that, she doesn't want to retire.
Which proves to me this is not just simply about looking at the law and ruling according to the law. It is about ideology, because if all the justices were looking at the same law and the same, they should be looking at the Constitution,
right?
But the same law and judging impartially, it wouldn't matter who's president.
That's
but the fact is, they know good and well this is about ideology, not about the Constitution or law.
Wasn't it Ginsburg who had had apologized during the election campaign to Donald Trump, something she said about Trump?
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes. Uh-huh. What was that? She
was out making a speech somewhere.
Yeah.
And she said something very negative about then-candidate Trump.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hillary Clinton is unhinged. Huh? They talk the critics of President Trump talk about his volatile personality.
Yeah.
Hers is just as bad or worse. I'm talking about former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, the former Democrat presidential.
I didn't know she was an NFL football fan. She got involved with that on the weekend.
She's going out there saying things like, well, first of all, she's on a it ain't my fault I lost tour that she's been on for how long?
Around the world.
Since 2016.
Blame everybody but myself for my loss. She's been on that. Now she's saying things like President Trump. I'm not quoting here. I wish I did have the quote. President Trump, basically she's accusing him of wanting to get into a war with
North Korea.
I mean, she said some inflammatory things over the weekend about that. What did she say? Can you pull that up? What did she say exactly?
Well, she's blaming the Comey's, which she calls it a shiv, which is a knife made in prison. And you get stabbed in the back.
Oh my word!
So when
she's
when
still
Comey's
talking about that?
She's still talking about that, and Trump, President Trump, has dared when he again brought out the crooked Hillary thing to a 2020 rematch. He said he hoped that crooked Hillary runs for president again. And because she's blaming her 2016 loss on fired FBI Director James Comey, so that would be a stroke of genius if he egged her on to running again.
Right.
She ought to be thanking FBI Director Comey.
Thanking.
She ought to be thanking him, because if he was in his. If he cared genuinely about the law and followed the Constitution and federal law, she would be in the federal penitentiary right now.
Yes.
Lock her up.
Broke multiple federal laws, not to mention her fumbling of the Benghazi situation.
Right. And Comey saved her.
She ought to be thanking him.
Right. Mm-hmm. So President Trump said, he tweeted, when is this, 10/16? Is that today?
Yeah.
He tweeted, I was recently asked if crooked Hillary Clinton is going to run in 2020. My answer was, I hope so.
Because I don't think she could get elected again, almost under any circumstances.
There would be Democrats, I tell you what, that it would just pack it in.
Yeah.
Because you've got a divide in the Democratic Party right now.
I tell you what, President Trump does not lose psychological warfare. He just does not lose cycle. If you know you're Hillary Clinton, you're going, oh, yeah, you blankety blank blank.
You just watch me.
I'll run against you and beat you like I did last time. If the Russians wouldn't have been involved, I'd have beat you.
I'm saying it would be a stroke of genius.
He's egging her on.
She would split the Democratic Party she ran.
Please, run again.
Although we all said, and people all said that about Trump. Please. Trump, run, run, and then he won.
They all wanted him to run, and thinking he was going to lose big time, and he didn't. But don't play head games with President Trump, because he'll beat you every time. I was recently asked if crooked. I got to read this again. I was recently asked if crooked Hillary Clinton is going to run in 2020. My answer is, I hope so. Tweeted President Donald Trump today.
She's at 8:12 a.m. While he's eating his Cap'n Crunch or something, he's tweeting.
What time was that?
8:12 a.m. this morning.
He's eating his breakfast. That's late in the day for him.
Oh, that's late.
Yeah, probably.
That's late. I think he sleeps in his suit. I'll be honest with you. I don't think he takes it off. Maybe change his ties. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.